The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran. But the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial clothes there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial clothes there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first. And he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I need some help. Are you available? Come with me. You didn't know you were going to get put to work today, did you? What's your name?
Dahlia.
Dahlia? Very good. Well, right now, we're going to change your name, though, for a second, okay? I promise it'll be a good one. But first, this is Dahlia. They only look scary. Don't worry about that, okay? Now, in our gospel reading today, though, we heard about somebody named Mary Magdalene. I'm going to ask you to be Mary Magdalene for us for a minute or two, okay? You are so cooperative. Come right up here. Turn around. You see the organ in the back of the room? Okay, I'm going to ask you to do something. Do you know how to run? Can you be fast? Do you like to run? Have you ever run in church before? This will be the one and only time you get to do that. Now, they're all jealous because they don't get to run in church. Can you run all the way to the back where the organ is? As fast as you can. Just don't hit anybody. Go. Now, run back up. Dahlia, thank you very much. That was perfect. Have a seat. Easiest applause you are ever going to get. There is something about this day and the joy of this day and the surprise of this day that is best understood by our young expert at running demonstrating that for us. Because to run is to go pretty fast, isn't it? And note what provokes us to run. Sometimes we run because we're afraid. We heard on Good Friday, as Jesus was arrested, his disciples ran from him. But when it's something that captures our attention, that excites us, we run toward it. And this is what we see in our gospel reading today, this movement of life. Mary Magdalene walked to the tomb. She walked. It's a slower movement, a more deliberate movement, and she walked, we hear, while it was still dark. And In doing that, Mary Magdalene becomes a model for the entire world in a very real way, which walks in darkness without realizing it. We walk uncertain of who we really are. We walk weighed down by so many concerns. We walk preoccupied by the notion that my problems are never going to go away and that tomorrow isn't really going to be any better. So she walks in darkness, and she walks in darkness to a tomb, which is a place of loss. She walks there because she loves Jesus, but she walks there as well because she thinks the only contact she has left is to visit that spot where he was laid. It's not that there is no love. It's not that there is no faith. It's small. It doesn't fully understand. But she moves toward him, not convinced she'll ever see him or touch him or speak to him again. She walks in the darkness. But when she gets there, as she moves toward him through that darkness, she is surprised to see that the reason for the darkness that she was walking in is gone. The stone is rolled away. The tomb stands open when it shouldn't be. And suddenly, at this moment, light begins to break on her. She doesn't understand what is happening, but she knows something has happened. And how powerful that is. She comes to the place of loss, and there is no loss to be found. She comes to the place of sadness, and the reason for sadness isn't there. And looking forward at this and looking into this, she's puzzled. And yet she knows something important has taken place. He's not here. And she doesn't know where he is. He's not here. And that simple realization, he's not in the place of the dead. He's not in the place of darkness. He's not in the place of shadow. He's not in the place of night. She doesn't know where he is, but she knows where he is not. And so she runs. Because this is news. She doesn't know exactly what to say, but it is important. And she finds his disciples, she rushes. She rushes because they must know he is not where he's supposed to be. And let's just pause right there. Because all too often in life, even those of us who profess our faith in the resurrection make the mistake of thinking, we get to tell the Lord where he's supposed to be. We get to assign to the Lord his place in our lives. We get to assign to the Lord a sense of where he should be and what he should do. And without realizing it, we consign him to the darkness of our inability to understand fully, our unwillingness to love completely. But the Lord doesn't stay where he's put. Because the Lord doesn't come for us to give him a place. The Lord comes to lift us out of the dark places where we all too often find ourselves. And so she tells the disciples, and you know what they did? They ran too. In fact, they raced. John and Peter, the two disciples, ran and they raced to the tomb, and Peter lost. John got there first. But they got to the tomb because they had to see that he's not there. And when they walked into the tomb, it was remarkable. It sounds so simple the way we hear it in the gospel. How puzzling it was. They go to the tomb, they look in, and they see that the shroud that the body of Jesus was wrapped in is just tossed aside onto the floor as if it didn't matter anymore. Death doesn't matter to the Lord. Note how powerful that is. It's set aside. It has no power. And they see that there was a cloth that covered his face, and it was rolled up, and it was folded and neatly set down. And we hear that John, the guy who beat St. Peter in the race, when he saw all of this, he understood. Jesus did something here. No one took Jesus away. Jesus did something here. Jesus got up on his own. Jesus laid aside the clothing of pain that the world tried to inflict on him. Jesus took the covering that the world put over him, folded it up neatly. Note how gentle that is. Set it aside and left that place. And they're puzzled and they're curious, but they know it's something that Jesus has done. They don't know where he is yet, but they know he's not with the dead. They know he's not lost in sorrow. They know he's not lying in darkness. And so imagine what happens as they walk into that dark tomb and they begin to see these things. And then they turn around and they look out to the world. And the light of the sun coming up hits their eyes. And it's bright, even blinding. And as their eyes adjust to this light, standing there where everything should be dead, but looking out now into the world and seeing that he's alive. And I don't know exactly where he is, but I know light has broken over the world. It's as if they're walking into daylight for the first time. And imagine how different the world now looks, knowing death is not the last word. Pain is not the last word. Struggle and sorrow are not the last words. There's a new word, because this is a new day. That's the meaning of that mysterious verse that we sang in our responsorial psalm. This is the day that the Lord has made. And day begins with light. Light rises, the sun rises. And better than the earthly sun that fills our sky is the sun of justice that rises from the tomb. And his first gift is to bring this new light to the world. A few hours later, Mary Magdalene will meet the Lord and see the Lord and know exactly where he is. But note how marvelous the sign is here. Jesus never stays where we think we put him, because he doesn't come for that. He comes to lift us out of where we place ourselves, where we find ourselves, where the world puts us. And he comes to lift us out of darkness and into light. That is what we celebrate here today. And my young friend Dahlia, at the end of Mass, I'm going to say something really important to everybody. Do you know what it is? Keep running. You're right. I'm going to say go, which means get up, move, and get out of here. Not because I don't want you here, but note the command. Just like those who went to the tomb had to turn around and go out into the world that is different and new because of what they experienced, so do you. So do you. Go, but don't go the way you came. Go with eyes that see more fully the brightness of Jesus' victory. Go with eyes that understand we are not people destined to walk in sorrow. Go out into the world and bear that news by living it. Let there be a real spring in your step this day. And don't fall into the trap of saying, I'd love that, Father, but my body don't work the way it used to. Because you could have a spring in the step of your heart any day. Do that. do that. Because remember what St. Peter said in our first reading. We're the witnesses he chose beforehand, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Well, guess what, my young friend? That means Jesus chose you beforehand too. All those years ago, he saw you here running in this church. All those years ago, he chose you to be a witness to him. Because what are we going to do here? We are going to eat and drink with the Lord after he rose from the dead. He saw all of you. And all of us who are here this day are among those witnesses he chose beforehand. And note how beautiful it is. The only way the world knows about the victory of the resurrection is if those witnesses go and go out running to share that news. Happy Easter. Amen.